Each unit was a shock to the inmates. After hearing rumors for 2 years about a new, modern $11 million facility, they were stunned when they moved into an underground prison with less space and more restrictions than F cell house. Ron hated H unit. His roommate was Rick Rojum, a resident of the row since 1985 and a calming influence. Rick was a Buddhist who spent hours in meditation and also enjoyed playing the guitar. Privacy was impossible in their cramped cell. They rigged a blanket from the ceiling and between the beds in a lame effort to withdraw into their own worlds. Rojum was worried about Ron. He had lost interest in reading. His mind and conversation could not stay on one subject. He was medicated at times, but far from getting proper treatment. He would sleep for hours, then pace around the tiny cell for an entire night, mumbling incoherently or chanting about one of his delusions. Then he would stand at the door and scream in agony. Since they were together 23 hours a day, Rick was watching his cellmate go insane, and he couldn't help him. Ron lost 90 pounds after moving into H unit. His hair turned gray, and he looked like a ghost. Annette was waiting one day in the visitor's room when she saw the guards lead a wiry old man with long, stringy gray hair and a beard into the room. "Who is that?" she thought. Her brother. She said, "When I saw them bring this man with long hair and just a skinny, horrible, emaciated-looking man that they brought to visit me that I would not have recognized if I met him on the street, I came home and I wrote the warden asking him to have Ron checked for AIDS because he looked so gauntish, and knowing the stories you hear about prisons, I asked them to check him for AIDS." The warden wrote back and assured her Ronnie did not have AIDS. She fired off another letter and complained about the food, the high prices in the canteen, and the fact that the profits from the canteen went into a fund to help buy exercise equipment for the guards. In 1992, a psychiatrist named Ken Foster was hired by the prison and soon met Ron Williamson. He found him to be disheveled, disoriented, out of touch with reality, thin, gray, frail, emaciated, in poor physical condition. It was obvious to Dr. Foster, as it should have been to the prison officials, that something was wrong. Ron's mental condition was even worse than his physical. His outbursts and explosions were far beyond normal prison clamor, and it was no secret among the guards and staff that he had lost contact with reality. Dr. Foster witnessed several bouts of the maniacal screaming and noted three general themes. 1, that Ron was innocent. 2, that Ricky Joe Simmons had confessed to the murder and should be prosecuted. And 3, that Ron was in great physical pain, usually in his chest, and he was afraid he was about to die. Though his symptoms were obvious and extreme, the records reviewed by Dr. Foster indicated that Ron had been receiving no mental health treatment for a long time. The denial of medication for a person as sick as Ron normally results in the onset of psychotic symptoms. Dr. Foster wrote, "The psychotic reaction and the accompanying deterioration are worsened when a person is under the multiple stresses which accompany being in a death row environment and having the knowledge that you are scheduled to die. The GAF scale, as set forth in authoritative mental health manuals, considers imprisonment a catastrophic stressor." It was impossible to speculate how much worse the catastrophe might be for an innocent person.